He's getting natural light on his facial muscles.
You're getting blasted right now. That's what we call in the movie business, blown out.
The sun is
100.
One hundo blown out. Hello. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hello. Happy Easter, brothers.
Happy and Easter. Yes.
Passover, who celebrate Passover.
That's right. And my other brother, Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hoppy Easter. Because bunnies.
What you did there. I see what you did there, Andrew.
Hoppy Clever. Bunnies? Yo,
hoppy
man.
Bunnies. Bunnies hop, so hoppy bunnies Easter stuff.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah. Because the jokes are always funnier when you explain them.
Always.
Wow.
Always.
That's like our family to a T. Like, funnier when you explain it.
Funnier when you explain it. That's honestly should be a tagline for our family. That's funnier when you explain
it. Write this down, Andrew. That's the name of this. This is our episode title.
Yeah, episode title. Funnier when you explain it.
Perfect.
When you explain it.
Okay. We're brothers with geeks. We talk about geeky things. This is episode number 171. If you're seeing this in video format, this is our first video. We're trying a video. It's on YouTube. We're going to be on YouTube now, I guess.
Why not? All the avenues. Get, like, our images.
I don't know what to do with my hands. What do I do with my hands while we're recording? Like, I never have to worry about people seeing me except for my brothers, but now I'm all self-conscious.
Now you're all self-conscious?
Not really, but... But yeah, the one with the blown out face right there is definitely Christopher. Hello, Christopher. We're brothers. We're recording.
Look at that. It's like a psychedelic effect.
It is. It's fogging you out, the background.
Okay, I'm bringing up my notes here. Okay.
All right, notes. Patrick prepared.
So I would like to say the things that we are definitely like all watching is Moon Knight, right? So let's just start off with that. You guys are up to date on Moon Knight?
Yeah. Yep.
By the time we're recording this, what, we've seen 3 episodes?
Yeah, we're halfway through the season.
I gotta say, this is a decent clip show. Like it like moves along very fast. Every episode is different. They don't dawdle. There's no, like, navel gazing, as Christopher likes to say. It's a lot of, like, move the big plot along. There is a little navel gazing because he is a, like, you know, he's a split personality. So it's like him having arguments with himself is kind of humorous. But, like, Oscar Isaac is so good. I mean, he really is very, very fun to watch. And we haven't really broken down like how the other shows rate against this one, but I feel like I really like.
I don't think we can yet.
Yeah. I have no idea what is going to happen later.
Well, like, that's part of. I like the show. I'm enjoying it. Oscar Isaac is incredibly watchable. You're right. I think the pacing is good in the sense that you never get bored. Like I've never been bored watching an episode. The level on which the show is not working for me is I am not invested.
Ah.
I just don't, maybe, and it's I don't know where they're going or I don't know what kind of story they're trying to tell. Because for me, there's always the story, which is, you know, Moon Knight has, you know, it's a comic book show. Moon Knight's a superhero, maybe split personalities. He's trying to understand his power. And there's an adversary, maybe, you know.
He's a superhero in the sense that...
I don't need you to explain it to me. Okay. I'm just going over... I just want to talk about, like, what issues that I'm having with it right now.
Give me the issues. Yeah.
I'm not invested that much in what's going on.
In what? Like the
I don't care what happens. I guess I don't care what happens.
The stakes. You don't care about the stakes.
Yeah, the stakes are not high for me. Yeah. I don't know what's... I don't know where it's going. And I'm almost like, I don't... really care where it's going.
Well,
I'm only watching it because it's a decent watch, but I'm not like invested in the show.
Well, the stakes are this evil god comes along who judges people before they do bad things, and she just might start murdering everyone.
Oh, I understand that. I just
that's bad, right? You understand?
I'm not sucked into that. I'm not sucked into that story.
But Patrick, the show's called Moon Knight,
right?
Oh
yeah, sure.
We're not invested in him.
Yeah.
What is his motivation? What's the point? It assumes a lot.
We're like halfway through the season. We're halfway through the season. You think I'd be more invested? Like we're halfway through this show.
Right.
By episode 3 of Hawkeye, I was 100% in.
See,
I was like, into it. Like Haley Steinfeld was working for me. Their relationship, it was all firing. The only thing that keeps me coming back is how good Oscar Isaac is and how good Ethan Hawke is. Ethan Hawke's been really good too villain.
Everyone's been good. Those two especially. I will continue to watch till the end for sure. But I'm having similar what's the whole point of the Avatar?
Mm.
What is the Avatar supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think these gods don't necessarily like exist in the physical plane. Like they need.
I understand what you think. That's the problem,
right?
what is he doing
right
in the Marvel universe that we should give a shit about?
It's not a bad question. I've sort of like bought into it because I like what's happening. There's a lot of like hand waving that's entertaining, but like you guys are getting to the core of it. It's like, how does this fit? What does this all mean? What are the stakes?
The design of the character is unbelievably
cool. It's very cool. Yeah. And Oscar Isaac is awesome. So watchable. Yeah.
Background, the connection to Egypt. Everybody thinks Egyptian mythology is cool. So you put those two things together as a starting point, and it's compelling. You throw Oscar Isaac in, it's compelling. And like you said, pacing-wise, this show is moving along.
Right.
And they're not like making the mistake of the Daredevils of the world, which is episodes 4, 5, and 6 should have been distilled into one episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is good. All of that is good. That's the reason why I'm going to watch the rest of the episodes. But it's like, to Andrew's point, is like, okay, there seems to be this threat to all life by this imprisoned Egyptian god. And that sounds bad. That sounds bad. And somebody ought to do something about that. And we have this guy who seems to be an avatar, and he somehow is going to fight the god or fight the people who are trying to free the god. I mean, that's the level of storytelling we've had so far with the dual personality stuff thrown in to add flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my take on this. And so,
well, he's kind of like his powers aren't very. I mean, he has a healing factor, and he's able to like create weapons more or less. But
his power seems like he's badass.
Yeah.
Like,
he's stronger, he's faster.
He's badass.
In the old comics, he was just like Batman, where he was like a human. And then later comics, they've made him into this avatar of a god kind of split personality storyline. And that's what we're going off of. And I even think that's like early 2000s writing, not like early Moon Knight stuff. And I wish I knew about Moon Knight, but that's...
Well, that's part of where I'm coming... My starting point on this character is I have never read any Moon Knight comics.
Mm.
Moon Knight has never been a character that I was particularly, like, attracted to, there's a Moon Knight book, I'm going to go pick it up. Like, I just... It sounds stupid to say it now because everybody knows who the Guardians of the Galaxy are, but he's, like, below Guardians of the Galaxy in terms of, like... level of Marvel hero.
Yeah, they're like, really, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel now. It's sort of like Moon Knight is.
I mean, and they can do whatever they want. They have such a devoted audience now, and it's like, I mean, Marvel is popular entertainment now. Anything they do, people are going to pay attention to. And if they want to make a Moon Knight show and Oscar Isaac wants to star in it and he thinks it's going to be interesting and he wants to play the character, they're going to throw $15 million an episode at it.
Right.
But and it looks that good. It feels that good. It's made by very qualified, experienced people. But I'm just not invested in what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying watching it, but it's not sucking me in on like a deeper level.
Well, okay. Has
comic book. I mean, when you're sucked into when you watch the Batman and how you get sucked into that works on a totally different level than Moon Knight. And it might be my experience with the character or not, but I just don't, the stakes don't feel high for this TV show at
all. Well, I think that like you're coming into it relatively blind as a comic book reader, but not really a reader of Moon Knight. So it's sort of like, all you have is what the show is giving you. And so I think that makes sense. I think that I'm enjoying the ride a little bit more than you guys. I am not asking these questions. I think the performances are selling me enough that I'm enjoying it. But TBD, like you're right. I think that like Hawkeye was good up until the last episode. I was kind of disappointed with the last episode, if I'm honest. There were so many like weird unanswered questions and like weird takes about, anyways, this is not the Hawkeye discussion, but like this show could like end really poorly is what I'm trying to say. So I think that we should come back around to this once it's over. And then maybe we should have a larger discussion about what we think of all the different Marvel shows comparatively once this is done. Because like I really liked Loki. I really liked the weirdness of WandaVision. But you know, I liked Hawkeye up until the end. But like they're always like these bigger things. They're like telling these bigger stories. Like Kang the Conqueror is going to be like this bigger villain in the future. Like, is that going to be in the movies or is that going to be in the shows? I don't know. So anyways, is Loki going to come back in his own show or is he going to be back in the movies? Is it going to be in the Doctor Strange movie, which I'm very excited about? That's coming up. I mean, we haven't really mentioned that, but I'm very excited about the Doctor Strange movie. So
Patrick, you're cutting in and out.
Oh, really?
No. So, yeah.
Well, I hope that it's just Discord because I have a direct link. I have a direct link to this, so it should record.
It's fine. Discord. I think Discord's for whatever reason's missing you sometimes.
I apologize. I guess we can move on with that unless you have anything else to say about Moon Knight.
Nope. I mean, I'm gonna watch it till the end, but yeah. I'm just not.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it for sure. I haven't seen it yet. But I am curious if you guys saw Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
I went yesterday.
Should we table that discussion until we've all seen it then, maybe? Because I will say coming into it, I think the other two are not very good. So
I think that's an objective fact, is the other two are not good.
The other, like, you feel that too? You went to go see it, like, opening weekend, excited opening weekend, and you believe the first two are not very good.
Yeah.
Especially the second one is a convoluted mess.
Hold on. Like, anything Wizarding World, I'm gonna give it a shot.
That's the reason I want to go see it. Yeah.
I like the first one. That one was I really
like the first one. I found it's, I mean, is it as good as some of the other the Harry Potter movies? No. But
definitely not.
Newt's Commander, Eddie Redmayne is always watchable. Newt's Commander is, you know, he's a different kind of hero, which I think he's interesting to watch. I really like the two American witch sisters. I think they're all really interesting. I think they're you know, and I like Jacob Kowalski, the nomad who gets caught up in the adventure. I think he's kind of comic relief.
And they sort of like hint that they're going to give him a wand this movie, right? Like,
well, he gets a wand.
No spoilers, but shit. Like,
he's not a wizard. Like, he's not a wizard, and then he finally gets power.
Can a human just pick up a wand and start blasting? Like, what's the story there? Like, you're messing with the rules of your own world here.
They're not messing with the rules. It's Wizarding World. It's Harry Potter. It's, you know,
see,
it's all
I like
the rules.
I like that stuff too. I grew up with that stuff. I feel like I was young enough that I can still look back on that stuff and enjoy it. And
I enjoy it all the time. I enjoy it every day. Harry Potter is a big part of, you know, my fandom. Go see it. Make your decisions. I will say this, just piggybacking off our previous discussion, the stakes in The Secrets of Dumbledore feel much higher to me than the stakes of Moon Knight.
Well, he's trying to be like the Hitler of the Wizarding World, right? He's trying to like kill
that's
off
part
all...
of it.
Yeah, he's trying.
We
to
don't
like...
have to get it.
Yeah,
you guys can go see
well,
it.
Well, I
want to
go see it.
Yeah.
I will.
Talking about you, Patrick, you're going to probably have a lot to say about this, but
yeah,
even the Halo feels like the stakes of Halo feel higher for me than the stakes of Moon Knight.
And they're
invested.
They're not existent. Like
I disagree. I am more invested in the story of Halo and what's going on with the Halo characters in that story than I am in the Moon Knight story.
Okay, so since you're bringing it up, I'm going to say this sentence, and I want you to let me finish this sentence. I had to pick what I hate watched this week, and I picked Picard instead of Halo because I'm caught up with Picard, and I had to hate watch the last two episodes, and then I couldn't bring myself to have hate watch two Halo episodes. So I've only watched two Halo episodes. Are you caught up with Halo?
I'm caught up with Halo. I'm not.
Dude, that show is so boring. Like I have no desire to watch the next two episodes. I'm going to. I should have because I'm a podcaster and I need to share my opinion with the world. But that's the only reason I want to watch it. Like, no desire to go back. But like Moon Knight, I was excited to watch it on Wednesday. I was excited. I brought it up as soon as it dropped. Like, that's the difference.
Nope.
No?
I'm the opposite. I am more invested in Halo than I am in Moon Knight. I'll agree with your criticism. Halo is moving slow. I'm hoping that it's building to something. I like the character investment that they're making for the Chief.
Yeah.
I like that about the show. I actually feel like they're developing his character well. The mystery of revealing who the Chief is working on me more than the mystery of revealing who Mark Spector is and who Steven What's-His-Name is
from
Moon Knight.
Yeah, I think they've made a lot of decisions that I haven't liked. Are there even any jackals or what were the other little like spidey guys?
You're bumping on the fact that you haven't seen enough aliens.
I'm bumping on not enough aliens in my Halo show. Absolutely, like that's too much human navel. Why are all the humans so mean to each other? Why are they all such dicks to each other? You're working together to fight aliens. Humanity working together to fight aliens. What the fuck is wrong with sci-fi writers? Like, why do the humans have to be mad at each other? Like, this is part of a card too. It's like there's like 16 fucking villains in that show. And
that's part of a card too.
Like,
it's like 16 fucking villains.
There's so many fucking villains, and all the main characters
they want to give Trek actors work.
Dude,
they're like, we want to give Brent Spiner something to do. We're going to give John
DeLancey. This is 100% what that show is about. Is like, all these guys, we want to give them money. Let's just make a show where we can give them a job.
Paramount's going to write us a check. Let's just have Brent Spiner come on and do three episodes of Picard.
Seriously.
Because the fanboys will watch.
I don't give two shits about that side story about like the daughter and... What is his Oong is this?
Sung.
Like, Sung?
So Pat, you've been talking a lot, Patrick. Christopher.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
You're just ranting.
I'm ranting about stupid ass Star Trek.
You want to rant? Have your own ranting podcast where you just scream for 10 minutes.
This is a good idea. This is a good idea about I'm gonna start it. I'm gonna start Patrick.
Yeah. Christopher, do you have things to contribute about Halo and Picard?
I am frustrated with Halo.
The only reason why I'm invested in Halo is shooting the Flood at 2 a.m. with you.
Yeah,
it's an original gaming memory, right?
It all so, comes, it all comes I mean, back to that.
That's exactly what it is. I love the universe. I love the games. I love everything about Halo. And so I'm totally invested. But the show is freaking boring.
Thank you.
And you know, I was super okay with the Master Chief taking his helmet off in the context of the first episode.
Mm.
But dude, you're in a war zone. Put your helmet on.
Yeah.
You're in a place that might be hostile. Keep your freaking helmet on.
Seriously.
I mean that whole aesthetic choice just makes no sense to me at all, and it bugs me, frankly. And it's like, you know, I understand they're trying to flesh out the character, but again, this is the same mistake, I think, that the writers of the dumbass show Gotham made.
Uh-huh.
Same idea, which is that, oh, this is a compelling fan base. This is a fan base that loves the universe. Let's flesh out Master Chief. I mean, as an idea, it's like, okay, that's not a bad idea, but do it in the context of why people love Halo, which is to shoot aliens and to explore the ring, right? I mean, that shit is exactly why Halo's interesting. And you can reveal the Master Chief in the interactions with Cortana, in the interactions with the UNSC, you can reveal the Master Chief, and that's the in my mind the error is in not putting all of that reveal into the context of why we love the Master Chief and why we love the Halo universe. They're trying to save money because it's all like Earth sets, right? And it's all that kind of thing, and so if they do it the other way, it's a lot of CGI, it's a lot of computer time, and they don't want to invest the money in making it look and feel real, to be, oh my God, we discovered the ring and we're on the ring now.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing all the side story, backstory, flashbacks, all of that, you can do that while he is there trying to solve the mystery on a ring. And the fact that they're taking so freaking long to get to sort of the centerpiece of the Halo universe, which is the rings, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is the centerpiece. That, I mean, dude, get on with it.
I'll piggyback on what stuff you're saying. It's like, give the main characters goals and quests and an adventure. It's an adventure game. Make the show adventurous. He's got something to do. He's got to go. They're always moving forward. There's so much like backtracking and let's sit in this room and talk about what just happened.
Okay, that the Halo show is more navel gazing than the Moon Knight show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I'll agree with that 100%. Yeah.
I think that Andrew is just like, he just loves the Halo shit, and so he's like giving it more of a pass.
I love it.
Yeah.
But
I'm looking at it with a critical eye. Like it's not the greatest show I've ever seen. Like giving it a pass, I would be singing its I'm finding things about the shows. I always start from a point of what do I enjoy about this show?
Yeah.
And Pablo Shriver is watchable. I'm enjoying how they have characterized Cortana for the show. I think she's kind of fun. So I am finding things about the show that I enjoy. There are shows, I mean, and the prime example of this, and I gave it a long time. Ashton and I, on multiple recommendations from people in our lives, we watched Yellowstone, the first two seasons of Yellowstone. We got halfway through the third season and we had to step away because every single character is despicable.
Uh-huh.
Every single one is a murderer.
pretty much.
Like, hardcore, cold-blooded, kill anything that gets in my way, murderer.
That's what the show is?
Point where we just, yeah, they all have a point of view. It's not like they're going to walk into a town square and shoot up a town square. They're not, like, a villain, but they are not people you want to succeed in what they want.
Right, right.
So we had to step away. We was like, we are watching way too much of this show where the people that we are watching, we don't care if any of them get what they want, and they are all despicable. And I don't know why people love the show as much as they do. There are people, I don't know if it's just like a kind of fulfilling that kind of fantasy of like the this is a characterization of an American that I wish that I was, you know, the Western ideal of, you know, defending what's mine against people who want to take it. And because it's mine, I have the right to do whatever I want to protect it. Like that kind of image of
change,
a person.
Change is bad.
Change is bad. Like
that's absolutely the sole reason why that the show is succeeding is there is a huge fan base who that, the Kevin Costner character appeals to 100%. That's it. I mean, change is bad. And, you know, times were better when things were simpler.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say it, and I hate to put, I don't want to alienate people.
Those are the kind of people who get really upset with, like, people being woke. It's like,
this is what I'm saying.
The attack on woke culture.
I'll live with the consequences of saying this if I have to, but it's like a Republican wet dream.
Yeah.
Yellowstone is like a Republican wet dream.
Just shoot everybody who gets in your way. That's the answer to all of life, right? Don't talk to anyone anymore. Just get your gun and stand out front of your lawn and shoot any person that steps on your lawn. There's a lot of
violence solves problems kind of
stuff. Yeah. And I don't necessarily have a huge issue with that. When you're faced with evil, sometimes violence is necessary in our fantasy.
In self-defense.
I got to the point on Yellowstone where I was just, I didn't want anybody to get what they wanted. I was like, you're all despicable. I can't watch this show anymore.
Yeah, right.
Jeez. Yeah. If you don't care, a show like that can get away with something like, if you care about the character succeeding, like you can have a despicable character
Breaking Bad and The Sopranos.
Dexter is a murderer, but he's doing murder for the right reasons.
And
you know,
it's Mad Men and The Sopranos. I mean,
yes. Godfather.
Don Draper is a despicable man. He cheats on his wife. He neglects his children.
Yeah.
You know, he lies to everyone that he meets about who he is. But you still are invested in enough in him that you want him to succeed in some way.
Right.
And Tony Soprano is the same way. He is a murderer. But
It got you for 2.5 seasons. So it's like something happened in season 3 where you just couldn't stand it anymore.
We couldn't stand anymore. It's like we reached a critical mass.
Critical mass.
We can't watch
here,
it anymore.
Here's what I'll say too. It's like I'm less so than I was like a few years ago. But there was a point where I wanted to watch television that was lighthearted and escapism and like didn't make me think too much about the world being horrible or stressful. If a show was stressing me out, I didn't want to watch it. So I still feel that to some extent. Like, and I feel like that's what I want from my television is something that gives me like joy and makes me laugh. And you know, it's like, but there are people who like shows about murder and killing and
I have people in my life that I love and respect who love Yellowstone, and I just can't understand it.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. So here's what I'll say, because we're sort of like off genre TV what we normally talk about. I'm gonna bring up a show to you guys that I hope you've been watching, and I just discovered. I've only watched 3 episodes. Tokyo Vice. Have you guys watched this?
I've seen it on Netflix. It's on Netflix or
no? It's on
HBO Max.
It's on HBO Max. So I watched it. Hold on. Let me take you through what happened to me. I watched it on a lark because I kind of like what's that guy's name? Ansel Elgort or whatever. He's got a weird name. Ansel something. Ansel Adams. No.
Ansel Elgort, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. It seems interesting. Like, Tokyo, first episode is awesome. It's so cool. This show is 70% subtitles, by the way, because it's all Japanese. But, like, hold on. I don't ruin my punchline. Don't ruin my punchline with what you just looked up. So I'm watching along. Everything's fine. I'm like, this show's great. What is going on here? I get to the end of the episode, directed by Michael Mann. And I'm like, what? Produced by Michael Mann, directed by Michael Mann. And I'm like, this is amazing. This show's amazing. And I watch the next two episodes. And I'm telling you right now, show is dope. Go watch the show. It is fun. Totally,
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Dude, yeah. Go watch the first episode. It's slow burn, crime drama, like Tokyo culture, like intrigue, Yakuza. Very good. Holy shit.
And watching it tonight.
Dude, brother. It's solid. He doesn't direct the next two episodes. I don't know if he comes back around, but he directed the pilot and he produces the whole show. Dude, it's awesome. Dude, it's awesome. Right. Dude, it's okay. Awesome. It's,
I'm in.
By the time we're recording this, I think there's four or five episodes, so I have a couple more to watch. But damn, dude. Damn. I was hooked. I'm on board. Like, that's like my favorite new show. Okay. I want to mention this because it's kind of goofy, and I want to see if you guys have a thing to say. They came out this week that Top Gun Maverick, they shot 800 hours of footage over the number of footage that they shot for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I was thinking about this, and I'm like, for one movie, they shot 800 hours of footage. And I was like, why did they do that? Why?
Dude, that has to be like 800 total hours of like the cast flying in F-18s.
But like they wouldn't say the stuff that made the cutting room floor, right? Like this is like 800 hours of usable footage that could be in the movie, right?
No, that's gonna be 800 hours of footage that they use to put together the movie.
I guess you're right that like are they actually in flying around in F-18s? Like
I think they are, dude. I think that the cachet that Tom Cruise has now as like an action star, and the fact that he can, like, he's so committed to like the experience of his action movies, like he does his own stunts and all that shit. I am almost certain that he figured out a way to get the U.S. Navy to actually let him and the cast go up in F-18s and film stunt photography in actual F-18s. I'm certain of it, honestly.
Is there anyone who like has asked Tom Cruise if he's okay? Like if he needs help? Is this a cry for help? Like it's like, you don't need to do this. Like
I was thinking about this week.
He like
actually.
Wants to die or something. Like that's how you crash in a plane, dude.
Like, I was thinking about this week because I like randomly stumbled onto an old video. When Henry Cavill and Simon Pegg were promoting Mission Impossible Fallout, they did like a YouTube interview show or something. And it got me thinking about it. Tom Cruise doesn't do interviews.
Yeah, not he anymore. Not since jumping on Oprah's couch.
This is what I'm saying. Like he promotes his movies. Like he'll show up to premieres and he'll do photo calls and he'll like do behind the scenes shit. But Tom Cruise doesn't do anything unless he controls the person who's interviewing him and controlling the product of what's getting put out.
Well,
And when was the last time you saw Tom Cruise do an interview?
And then this random sound guy that records him yelling at the crew about COVID. Like that was the last like human real thing.
Patrick, I thought of you the other day. So there's a show on Netflix called The Bubble.
Oh, we watched that too.
It's bananas. I thought it was really funny.
It's so silly and throwaway, but it is real life. Real life actors are like this and ridiculous and absolutely. Everything in that movie is incredibly real. Like,
I thought you were, my imagined you were the guy who was like explaining the COVID protocols to everybody. It's like the guy who was like doing the flirty face. He's like, that's the job that I thought you would have on set. He's like, this is how you make eyes at someone. And he like,
I mean, we had masks on when we had that conversation, but legitimately like had a conversation about make sure you smile with your eyes so everybody can tell that you're smiling. Like, oh my God, no.
That's awesome.
No. Like, what they didn't really get into is like the random crew member that you had to yell at 16 times to get the fuck away from the actors. Like, step away from the actors. Where's your face shield? Where's your fucking face shield, you dumbass grip? Like, what? Sorry, I saw red there for a second. I apologize. But, okay. But like, that's the real shit. Like, the bubble, yeah. The bubble was pretty funny, but.
Well, it's a satire. It's supposed to be.
I think. Exaggerated. Right. I think the movie gets summed up by the last line of the movie is like, what's his name? Fred Armisen is playing the director of the movie, and he's standing there looking at the helicopter fly away, and he goes, do you think that like people will get upset with us, you know, like about this movie? And he goes, how could they? It's just, we're having fun and we're escapism and it's nothing. He's talking about the movie that they're making in the movie, but he's talking about the movie he's in. He's like, people, how can they like judge us for just making a movie about, you know, something fun and something like escapism in this like horrible time. Like, and it's just like, that summed it up. It's just a fun movie to like shut off your brain for a little while. Don't think about how bad the world is and you're move on with your life. And that's it. Yeah. Like,
Patrick, to circle back to the original question on this, that you asked in this segment is 800 hours of footage that Top Gun Maverick shot. It's because they had the money to do it.
Oh my God. That is so much money. That is so much money.
The only reason why they would do that is they had a gigantic budget, right? You know better than anyone. But yeah, that if Cruz is involved and he's probably funding it or partially funding it.
He's produced all his movies for the past like 10 years, if not longer.
I'm sure they had. Yeah, let's as much as we need. Because they have to have footage to construct all of the dogfight scenes.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean,
I am so excited for Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun, the original Top Gun that came out in 1986, is the very first movie I remember really like loving. Like, I would make Lego like fighter jets and like fly them around.
We gotta take dad. We gotta go with dad in the
theater. Hell yes, we gotta go.
Add it to the we call this segment "Take Dad to a Movie." We've done that with Dune, and now we gotta
We're gonna take him to Top Gun Maverick.
100%.
100%. Top Gun fan. We gotta take him.
100%.
Hopefully, they have a Kenny Loggins song in the movie. I they gotta have a Kenny Loggins song.
They have the original, I'm sure, dude.
Yeah, gotta do it.
I have the Top Gun soundtrack on vinyl. I gotta say, man, Kenny Loggins, he was killing it for a minute. Like Footloose, and Top Gun, and
I challenge you. Listen to Footloose and not feel good,
right?
And want to dance.
We just watched that movie. That movie kicks ass.
Footloose.
Yes.
Dude, it's great. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Footloose is a great movie. Hands down, a great movie.
The music is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on, like, another Kenny Loggins movie, and I'm like, upset with myself right now.
I got a question for you guys, just to throw it out there. Something I thought about that I thought might be an interesting question to think about or talk about, because it's Easter Sunday.
Caddyshack.
Do you guys have a favorite... or a favorite movie that's like a biblical, like based on like biblical stuff, like the Ten Commandments or whatever, or like some movie like that? Do you guys have a favorite movie that you can think of that like is based on Bible stories?
Matrix.
Oh, yeah, okay. That works.
Yes! That's correct. Pretty good.
To go a little more straight-laced about it, I actually thought of The Prince of Egypt.
Oh, I would say that one too. I rewatched that a few years later, though. Man, that movie's fucking preachy as shit. Like,
it is
ultra, like, God, Bible, this is the way. Yeah. Yeah, no, oh, yeah. That, all the songs are, like, drinking the Kool-Aid, like, hardcore.
Oh, yeah. It's done very earnestly.
Yes.
It's absolutely.
Takes itself very seriously.
The songs from Prince of Egypt fucking slap. They're good.
It's a good point. Yeah.
The second movie I would put out there is Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, I never saw that.
I've never seen it. Yeah. Martin Scorsese.
Is it
right?
Good?
You should watch that. The soundtrack to that is freaking incredible, by the way.
Okay. Oh.
You should absolutely, on this Easter Sunday, I encourage everyone to watch Last Temptation of
Christ. Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
I like it. It's a good recommendation.
I was trying to look up, like, the legend of Easter.
It was a hugely, I mean, God, it was so controversial.
Oh.
Like, there was, Catholic Church was, like, protesting that it even got made and shit like that. Yeah. Yep.
The soundtrack is by Peter Gabriel. Damn.
It is incredible, dude.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And Willem Dafoe plays Jesus of Nazareth, right? Isn't that who it is?
That sounds right. Yeah. What else do I got on my list?
You can't dispute the fact, I as a person who appreciates good stories, you can't dispute the fact that the Bible is just chock full of good stories. Mm. And sometimes adaptations are done well, and sometimes they're done to the point where you're just like, I can't engage with this. This is ridiculous. But yeah, I had that thought earlier today because, like, I remember once upon a time, you know, Easter Sunday, I mean, The Matrix did release on Easter weekend in 1999. I remember going to see it on Easter Sunday.
That's right.
I mean, it is 100% a savior story. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I just had that thought.
I mean, there's a lot of...
death and resurrection, dude. It's,
oh, yeah.
He dies and he comes back, like, 100%. Like,
all best savior stories always have a death and resurrection component. The best savior stories do. I mean, that's like an essential thing for every savior story.
Harry Potter dies, comes back.
Yeah. Exactly.
He gets hit. Yeah, he gets hit with it. Definitely. Yep. That's good. That's pretty good. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Andrew. I only have, the only thing I have left is I'm still playing Elden Ring. I want to bang my head against a wall sometimes with that game. So I'm playing it less and less these days because I'm getting to some really hard shit that I can't get past. I have a D&D update because we played in between when we recorded last time. My crew, they survived the freaking banquet, which got attacked by assassins, right? And then the next day they got investigated by, like, the High Justicar of the order of the Platinum Dragon in this world that I've created. And he is, like, the head of the religious order. They're also, like, judgmental justice paladins, assholes. So they showed up to question them about their involvement because they just, like, showed up to this banquet, and then the banquet got attacked and the king almost got killed.
They're suspicious.
You're suspicious. And
they're suspects.
They are suspects. And he told them not to leave town without his permission because they're under watch. They're being watched.
Okay.
And then they went to this giant library in the town and researched some things that they had some side quests that they're trying to figure out. So they were reading the books, and they had to get, like, permission from this other historian to be allowed to enter the library. So because you have to be, like, a member, basically. They don't have just any old pleb walking into their library reading their books. So they got permission from one of my long-running NPCs that I keep bringing back in all my campaigns is this guy called Bink Banksy. And he's a halfling historian who writes the history of the world, the history of Uchara is what his book is called. And so they found his book, and, like, they keep reading chapters about the stuff they're doing or whatever. And I've written up, like, little lore chapters that they're but they found this guy. He always comes to everything to like help the adventurers along the way. He's this little I'm getting better at his voice too. So I've done three campaigns now. It's like I've started to like really kind of dial in Bink's voice. So anyways, they did that, and then they went to a midnight rendezvous with the captain of the guard in a cemetery, because there's some criminal secret element in
where you always meet
in a cemetery at midnight. And they got attacked by a necromancer and a werebear, because they're trying to kill the captain of the guard. They fought off. They're level 6. I put in a level 9 necromancer and they fucking killed him. Like, I was like, damn. Okay. I thought that guy was supposed to live and do other shit. And
now you gotta refocus the plot, buddy.
Bring him back as a lich, dude. Bring him back.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, damn. Okay. Okay. That's a pretty good idea. So that's just my Dungeons & Dragons update, because that's it. You guys got anything else to bring up?
I, too, am playing Elden Ring. I have defeated the second mainline boss now.
Nice.
And I'm, I'm in no hurry. The game is so amazing and frustrating and hard.
That's right.
And beautiful.
Yep.
I'll just tell you the short story of why the game is so awesome and frustrating is that I do all this prep work. I level my character up. I level up my ash summons, my spirit summons. I do all of that. I level up all my weapons because I was banging my head against the boss. So I do all of that, run around the world, beat some small mini bosses, level up my vigor, you know, all of that. And so I go back, and on my second try, I kill Godric. Then I go, you know, I finish, I activate the Great Rune, and then I go into the next land, the Lunaria of the Lakes, right? Mm-hmm. I go in there, and I walk around. Patrick, you're shaking your head. I walk around, and I go into Stillwater Cave.
Yeah.
Stillwater Cave has some armor that I want to get. So yes. I go into Stillwater Cave, and it's poison. There's poison in the Stillwater Cave. And I'm feeling great about taking down a demigod, right? Godric is a demigod in the game. And I die to 3 effing bats.
Yeah.
3 bats.
Well, there's seriously, like, a joke.
This game is so annoying.
Yeah.
And awesome. But yeah,
it is incredibly annoying and awesome. There's like a joke on the line that the most powerful villain in the game is a bleed dog that will one-shot you, because the bleed is like so crazy it like sets bleed to you immediately, and it will bite you once and you'll die. A dog. You're able to beat these huge bosses that are demigods. Then one, doesn't matter how much health you have, one dog will run up and just, you're dead.
That is definitely poor game design in my view, because that's just...
They need to patch that.
That's just dumb. I understand that they want to teach you the lesson that is you need to raise your resistances to bleed and shit that. I get all of that.
Yeah.
But if you... I mean, come on. Come on.
There's a thing about, like, you beat some bosses, and then the next area, I mean, they ratchet everything up. Like, it's like, as soon as you enter that next, like, I could go back to stuff in, like, Limgrave, and I would blast it into oblivion. But, like, as soon as you go to, like, the next zone, like, things are... Like little guys, like dogs and bats and random rats. Rats are the worst.
Rats are the worst. They're always in a pack, and there's always 4 of them, and then a big one.
Yeah.
And they kill you. They kill you.
Yeah. No, so that game is continually amazing and irritating. Yes, that's right. All right. Well, do you have some trivia for us, Andrew?
I do, and it's totally out of left field. I don't know if it's on your guys' radar, but it's definitely on mine. I haven't gone to see it yet. Ashton and I, one of the last movies we saw before like the lockdown got super intense during the pandemic was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
And our expectations for it were like bottom of the barrel. Like, if we don't ask for our money back, this will have like, we'll consider it a success. And it was far better than that. Like, we actually found it very fun. And Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has come out, and it's gotten decent enough reviews, and we're going to go see it. We haven't seen it yet, but that led me to my question of...
Oh.
Because it's a movie, a decent movie, based on a video game.
Mm.
Can you... I'm just going to... They're of the top 10 top-grossing video games, according to ScreenRant.com. Can you name 5 of them?
Of the top 10 top-grossing video games of all time.
Movies based on a video game.
Movies based on video
games. Okay.
Five of the top 10.
Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Old one or new one?
The old one. The 90s okay. one. Mortal Kombat. Resident Evil.
Okay.
Resident Evil. I gotta think about this.
Christopher, do you have any guesses?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
Sonic has gotta be in there.
Oh, okay. You know what is probably like terrible but it's definitely on this list is the Angry Birds movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely on the list, right? Because it just came out and kids love that shit. Probably ate that shit up.
What was the Assassin movie?
Oh, Assassin's Creed? Terrible.
Not Assassin's Creed. The other movie that Timothy Olyphant plays.
Hitman? I don't think that fared very well.
Yeah, maybe not.
All right, I'll give you guys a few more seconds.
Yeah. Give us a... fuck.
We got to wrap this up.
Yeah, right?
I know we're missing obvious ones.
That's the thing. When I read you this list...
Yeah, okay.
You're doing pretty well, though. Okay, I'll give you the list. According to ScreenRant.com...
Top 10.
Top 10. Starting with number 10, the relaunch of the Tomb Raider film.
Alicia
Vikander.
Oh, okay, the redo. Okay.
Uncharted's got to be in there.
Uncharted
did not. The... Cool. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider from 2001, starring Angelina Jolie, is the 9th highest.
Wow, okay, 2 Tomb Raiders.
Yeah, so, and then there's 2 Resident Evil movies, one in the 8th spot, one in the 6th spot. They made 5 Resident Evil movies starring... Yeah.
Which Resident Evil movies?
So the 8th spot was Resident Evil Afterlife.
Yeah, terrible.
And then 7 was Sonic the Hedgehog. In 2020.
Okay.
Which, if you guys haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Then Resident Evil, the final chapter that came out in 2016.
Resident Evil is the Mila...
Jovovich.
Jovovich, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's... Yes, okay.
Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh,
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. That wasn't very good.
People think it's a flop, and it kind of is, but it still made $336 million.
Yeah, but the budget was $335 million, so... Yeah.
Patrick, we're right on. The 4th highest Angry Birds movie from 2016.
I knew it! That's stupid crap!
So, this I was surprised of, because you don't really think of it, because... I think if it's just dumb fun, Rampage, that The Rock was in.
Oh, yeah. Technically a video game. That's a far stretch, though. That's a stretch.
$400 million.
A cabinet video game, yeah.
Yeah. Detective Pikachu.
Oh, great movie.
I get it's. That's based on a show, though.
Pokemon is video games. Is video games, dude.
That's a TV show, though. That's a TV show.
It's both.
It's Pokemon, though. But,
the number one highest grossing video game film.
Suspect.
Warcraft.
Oh, wow. Sure.
And that came out in 2016. That feels like forever ago, but it came out in 2016.
It was 5 years too late.
It was. Oh, yeah. It came out in 2010.
You know, I didn't hate that movie, but it's not very good either. Like, it's...
It was pretty good. I was pleased with it.
Yeah. It didn't have a... It struggled from didn't have a main character and trying to tell too many stories. But
I wish it was more like a quest movie. Like, they did more... Yeah. They don't do a lot of quest stuff in that movie.
Well, it's really based on the Warcraft game, like, Warcraft, not World of Warcraft. So it was a lot of that lore just shoved down your throat. Pre-established world and character. Well, thank you, Andrew, for your trivia. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast for questions, comments, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com. Brothers Geek do stuff on Instagram, brothersgeek.com. Follow us on iTunes and Spotify. And now, YouTube. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Wear your masks. If you're unvaccinated, or if you are vaccinated, the pandemic's not over.
Get vaccinated and save the world.
Yes.
Yes.